Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. When a string of bad things happened in Toronto, people began saying, Toronto's so dangerous. That message compelled Eva Carpati to show the doomsayers her city was still Toronto the Good. But how? With no background in publishing, Eva launched a newspaper called Good News Toronto, featuring stories of Toronto's everyday heroes and positive events. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of Career Cycles, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. One of Eva Carpati's everyday heroes is Jason Persaud. Jason grew up in the tough Malvern area of Toronto, where he says, adolescents growing up in this community are often discriminated against and have negative stereotypes attached to their academic potential. Jason believed then that he had what it took to succeed. He finished high school, completed university, and earned his Bachelor of Education, then returned to his old neighborhood and took a job as a program staff member at a program called Beyond 330, an after-school program that keeps over 1,000 middle school kids safe and engaged from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. every school day. Stay tuned as we talk to Eva Carpati about her career and life journey, from personal trainer and yoga teacher to editor and publisher, and we have Jason Persaud's journey full circle as Career Buzz connects to Good News Toronto. Eva Carpati, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
Glad you could make it today. Now, what do you like about your career doing so many things, but in particular publishing the Good News Toronto newspaper?
Well, what I like about it is that it actually addresses the multifaceted nature that actually we all are, and that brings out, you know, all parts of me, because for the longest time I was pursuing my one career, and career here, I guess I mean what I was professionally trained to do. And what Good News Toronto has afforded me is to open up a whole new realm of skills, of people that I've connected to, and a whole new world of possibilities and potential.
Well, you sound like you're smiling while you say that. Are you having fun doing it?
I'm having an amazing time doing it. I mean, you know, there are definitely the stresses involved with any publication because of deadlines.
Yes.
But, Mark, again, the people that I've met is just astounding. I have to say that, again, opening horizons of within myself of things I never thought I would be capable of, I think is probably a real bonus for all of us, especially as we start aging, to know that, you know, there are no limits. There really are no limits, right? If we have no fears, there are no limits. And so it's been very exciting.
Well, it's a great message. There are no limits. You mentioned a minute ago about all the different skills or strengths you're using, and it's an important question to ask about one's work or the things that one does and the strengths or skills that people draw on. If those listeners who aren't familiar with publishing a newspaper are tuned in here, what kind of strengths and skills do you draw on to do your job?
Well, I would have to say that my strongest, and what has really helped me through this, is I think my ability to draw people into something that resonates with them and encourage them to participate. And I think that has been my real strength, because, as you said, I have no background in publishing and nor editing nor journalism, so I'm using the strength of these fabulous, talented people who come together to help me produce this publication. So I would say that is an essential ingredient for anyone who's looking to create something and needs more than themselves to create it. I would say would be my strength, is that I seem to have drawn people in who are
That's great. I think it's really helpful to hear. You know, we don't hear enough about these strengths or skills, and people are busy writing resumes and adding all kinds of words that they don't necessarily connect to. But it's really important to hear the way you say it. Draw people in. I mean, it's not necessarily one of those skills you see at the top of a resume, like interpersonal skills. You know, people say superior interpersonal skills, but to hear it in context, I think, is really important. So thanks for sharing that perspective on your strengths. Now, take me back. How did this all happen? First of all, I know that you were working as a personal trainer, a yoga teacher. What was your first career, and what led to that?
First of all, Mark, to correct you, it's not was. I'm
sorry. Was,
I'm actually
is.
Still in that field. Yes. So yes, I went to U of T for physical and health education, and have stayed in the field since then, which was quite a while ago. So I've managed to stay in the field of fitness and wellness, and I love it, and still loved it then and still do. So it's an important part of me. I love moving. I truly believe in the complete well-being of a person has to do with every aspect, including their physicality, and I love promoting that. So that's been a big part of my life. All through. So I did pursue it academically and have kept in that field. And then I had a little blip along the way, actually. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 10 years ago. And in that journey, I was drawn into the art of quilt making. And through that, actually developed a volunteer program called the Toronto Jewish Quilting Project, and drew together women who now create quilts for people touched by cancer. So, and in that time, in the 8 years, we've actually gifted about 150 quilts to people throughout the GTA.
Nice.
Who are in treatment.
Can I just ask you a question about that? I've had other guests on the show who have had a major health crisis or mental health crisis. Can you just say a little bit about how something like that, diagnosed with cancer, how it affected your perspective on your career in life? Especially career, you know, we go through these things. Everybody has the things that they do, but then something big happens, and we're hearing this quilt-making experience. What actually happened there to change your perspective when that diagnosis came?
Well, there were a number of things that happened. I mean, the first is, of course, how could this happen to me? Again, I'm in fitness and wellness, so that sense of, you know, how could I be vulnerable to something like this? So that was the first big awareness is an awakening, is that we are all vulnerable. You know, none of us are immune to what goes on around the world, and, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. But I guess the biggest thing for me, Mark, was that because we don't know what tomorrow holds, you know, it just came so true to me, is that sense of just, you know, if there's an inkling of something to do, just do it. And that was my biggest lesson. Fear played less of a role, as it normally does in all our lives. It just seemed to diminish, and that sense of, yeah, you could just go for it. You know, you've got this idea, just do it. And you know, it's been so fruitful because in this particular instance, you know, women were just drawn to the idea of being able to create in a group and give. And that was also a huge eye-opener to me, is given the opportunity, people love to give. And so now you can see how then this idea of doing this paper, people want to give, people want to be part of something that is good. And all this was beautifully resonant with my whole perspective on life. So,
yes.
You know, everything I've undertaken has gone to just confirm my beliefs and my perspectives on life.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. We're talking to Eva Carpati. Among other things in her career, she's the publisher of the Good News Toronto newspaper. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz on 89.5 FM, CIUT.FM worldwide. So, Eva, you just mentioned the things that sort of led up to or preceded Good News Toronto. Now what happened? I mentioned in the intro here that something happened. People started to think that Toronto's so dangerous. What was the trigger? What happened here that led you to start Good News Toronto?
Well, the actual trigger, Mark, was being out to dinner with some friends who had complained about Toronto being dangerous. And these were Torontonians, to whom nothing had ever happened. And it, you know, so that realization that our perceptions can be so strong and so much affect our way of being that they actually thought, you know, it's kind of scary to go out into the city, you know, to be a part of this city. As you said, I just felt compelled to change that perception because that's what it was. Nothing had ever happened to them. So that was my trigger. And no one else had done it, so I thought, okay, I've got to do it. I've got to show them that Toronto is filled with just thousands and thousands of wonderful people.
Now, this was back in, I think, 2005. Was that the origin of this, about 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, probably a little bit later, probably a year after the really tragic Jane Kreba murder. But, you know, it had been a year of just this percolating feeling in Torontonians that, you know, what is happening.
Right. You just mentioned that. It was that random shooting or the stray bullet that killed this young woman downtown.
Yeah.
And that was Boxing Day 2005. Was that when that happened?
Yes. Yeah.
So that was one more event that kind of led to your saying we got to change the perceptions here.
Yes. Well, that's what led them to believe that. So and you know, the fact that one person, you know, perpetuating a horrible, you know, undoubtedly a horrible act, but that's not the real Toronto. It, you know, there are thousands of people who never make the front page, and they're doing just astounding work. You know, one person who's perpetuated something so horrific is splashed over the front page for days and days and years.
Yeah, so there's all this. It's true, like the news is practically the bad news. We turn on the radio and we hear of all these things, shootings and people being pushed off balconies and all kinds of bad news. And so there's a lot of different ways to try and combat that. Your idea was a newspaper. So how did you come across the idea of the newspaper full of good stories? And then how did you roll that forward without any background in the whole field?
It took quite some time, I must admit, because for every step forward in actually producing a paper, I probably took at least 10 steps backwards to discover how to produce. What is a newspaper size? You know, how do I go about deciding? Is it a tabloid? Is it, you know, is it actually newspaper format? So it was definitely, you know, trial and tribulation. And I think the important thing, Mark, is the saying it out loud. And if any, I would so highly recommend anybody that's got an inclination is to talk about it. Because that's where, first of all, it materializes, you know, it materialized for me. It made it a commitment. I had said it. I had spoken those words that I'm going to do this. And that's how, you know, we gather people in, is making people aware of this is an idea. You know, how does this resonate with you? What do you think? So that was the first important part. But yeah, just asking and asking and learning along the way of, you know, what does print type, you know, what is that about? How do you get from a Word doc into something printed was quite a process. So that took about a year, actually.
Now, a newspaper is also a business, and business requires investment and money and all of those components that people would think of as any startup business. How did you handle the business and the investment part of it?
Yeah, that's still an issue, actually, Mark, that's been very difficult. Again, not having background in that. Now, Good News Toronto is a not-for-profit endeavor. So we've had, and I've got a fabulous board. I've got all the writers. They're all volunteers because it's a not-for-profit endeavor. So I've been just really blessed with just, again, incredible people coming around to help make this happen. We've had fundraisers. I've had some wonderful financial supporters, Danofi Pasteur, Boom Restaurant, Dr. Jess and Dr. Eisen, two dentists who've been advertising with me since the beginning. So that's been crucial. However, it's been a real that's been a real effort. And right now we are not going to be printing for a little while in order to get the funds up and working.
So does that mean it goes to what, online?
It's been
online
editions? Since the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's going to continue online, but we need this hiatus to try to raise the funds in order to keep publishing, because it is expensive to print, to distribute, because it gets distributed throughout the city. So that's the other part of publishing. People have to get it and receive it. So it is an expensive undertaking.
Did people think you were nuts? What was the reaction from family and friends saying, hey, everybody, I've got no background in journalism, and guess what? I'm going to start a newspaper. What was reaction of family and friends?
Yeah, well, I think they thought it was cute. All right, Eva. And I think most people thought, you know, some of my friends thought I'm going to come out with like a flyer, you know, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with a front and back. So when I actually produced that first issue, it was complete astonishment.
Like they were delighted and surprised. Yes. Like, wow, she pulled it off.
Yes, and it's real. It's a real newspaper.
How did that feel, that first one, like running off the presses, you know, and it's in people's hands? How did that feel for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable, Mark. It really was astounding. And again, such a tribute to all the people who helped produce it. Just really feeling so lucky to have come upon, you know, generous, caring people who felt that was important to spread good news, you know, that the concept, the idea was not my, you know, it didn't just resonate with me. It somehow seemed to touch other people to make it real. But it was a true, an amazing sense of accomplishment. And again, you know, going from nothing to be able to, you know, hope something real tangible also was wonderful.
Nice. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
We're talking to Eva Carpati. Among other things, she is the publisher of Good News Toronto, a newspaper here in Toronto. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on Career Buzz here on CIUT 89.5 FM and worldwide CIUT.FM. Now, Eva, one of the everyday heroes that you feature in the Good News Toronto newspaper has joined us here. Jason Persaud is one of the stories. When I first connected with your newspaper, I found the November issue, and there was Jason's story, and I was very impressed with his story, and I thought I would invite him onto the show so that we could talk a little bit about the kinds of stories that you have in the newspaper. Jason, are you there with us?
Good morning, Mark.
Well, welcome to Career Buzz, Jason. Glad you can join us on the show here. I said a little bit about your story, Jason, in the intro, but can you tell us what you like about what you're doing in your career right now?
Well, first and foremost, the thing I like most about my job and what I do is my ability to give back to my community and interact with the youth of it. Because at the back of my mind, I know that I'm ultimately providing them with a safe after-school environment in a relatively high-priority neighborhood. Growing up in the Malvern community, I went to Dr. Marion Hilliard, a middle school for grade 7 and 8 students. So I understand some of the obstacles students are facing within my community. Just like any other neighborhood, adolescents are obviously faced with negative influences such as drugs and crime and gang activity. So having experienced this firsthand, I'm able to educate the youth a little bit more about issues such as these, and ultimately provide them with alternate paths, and hopefully they understand where I'm coming from and the ability to stay on path and have a memorable educational experience.
That's great. Now, Jason, we're just having a bit of a hard time hearing you. Can you either speak louder or maybe move closer to the phone?
Okay.
So the 330, it's called the 330 program. Can you just give us a sense of this program and what it does and how many kids are involved?
Okay, essentially the BR 330 program is run by the Toronto Foundation for Student Success. It's a non-profitable organization. We have approximately 13 schools in the GTA. We provide an after-school program starting at 3:30 or in some schools 3 o'clock for students within high-priority neighborhoods. So we have the program's essentially broken down into three components: a homework section, where a qualified teacher such as myself is hired to help students with their academic work, such as homework or special assignments, and we coordinate with the school teachers to figure out what homework is assigned on a weekly basis. Then the second component is we teach students how to cook or how to prepare a meal, and this, I believe, is a very important is a really important tool in today's society, because many students within these neighborhoods, their parents or guardians either work more than one job or come home after hours. So teaching them how to prepare a meal is relatively an important skill within their household.
Yes.
And then the last component is a recreational part, where we introduce students to recreational sports and arts and crafts. So just an ability for them to be exposed to new things that they never knew that they were possibly good at. So just allowing them to explore new talents, explore new things that they could pursue in the future.
It sounds great, Jason. Now you kind of broke the stereotype, because you've said, and it was quoted actually in the article in Good News Toronto, that people often have negative stereotypes attached to the academic potential of these kids, and yet you went to university and got a Bachelor of Education. How was it for you to deal with these stereotypes and push through them?
Well, growing up in any high priority neighborhood, as politicians like to call it, particularly in Malvern, people are always constantly saying that, or people always have a misconception that students within this area are low succeeding or are members of gangs or involved in crime. So having that at the back of your mind is kind of a negative. You're always thinking that people are always doubting you and your ability. So for me to prove others wrong and just stay on track, being able to persevere, it was very... It's a good story, because I'm no different from any other student within my community or with any other community within Toronto. Everybody, I believe, has the potential to succeed at the highest level, whether it's in the workplace, college, or university. Everybody has the tools. As long as they're able to stay on track, I believe everybody's able to go to a post-secondary education and graduate with a degree.
What was it that helped you stay on track? Were there mentors or teachers or some other key people? Or was it your own determination? What was it that kept you on that track?
Well, I believe it's a mixture of all of those. Personally, I really dislike when people will constantly say, or if I told an individual that I was at university doing a double major in science, they'll be either shocked or surprised that an individual from the Malvern community was doing so good at a post-secondary institution. So a strong will, faith, and determination propelled me forward. And I also have to give credit to my family that helped keep me on track and helped me understand the importance of a proper education. And along with that, there was a handful of high school teachers that I still keep in contact today for just pushing me and keeping me on track, providing me with avenues to spark my curiosity, to develop critical thinking skills, things like that, providing me with a safe after-school environment, getting me involved in athletics. A handful of high school teachers that helped me get where I am today. And that's why I believe it's very important for the educational system to hire good teachers, people who could be related to, just to help students within these communities understand the importance of education, make it fun and interesting.
Right on. Thanks for sharing that. Now, Eva, can I just go to you for a minute now, having listened to Jason's story? What was it about Jason's story that you thought was really great and wanted to publish it in your newspaper?
Well, I mean, you can hear. Like, I feel so proud, that I've been able to let Torontonians know about Jason, because it's just you know, perfect story, a full circle of someone who, you know, as you can see, has come, you know, is not only fulfilling his own dream professionally, but in so doing is inspiring so many others. And I also had the pleasure of visiting Jason at his program, and I just loved witnessing all these young boys who were not interested in what I had to say at all. I just came to talk to them about the paper. They were more interested in reading the books, and I thought, this is perfect. So Jason has, you know, done an exceptional job, and you know, we have a lot of Jasons, but he was just, you know, such a beautiful example of giving, that he's just a perfect hero.
Good. Now, Jason, we're going to have to take a break in a minute. I want to ask you one more question.
Okay.
Given your personal experiences now of coming full circle, as Eva has just said, what can you share with listeners about what it takes to make good career and life, good career educational and life choices?
First of all, I'd like to thank Eva for interviewing me once again. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I love the Good News Toronto.
Thanks, Jason.
And the first thing I believe in making correct lifestyle choices is just having, as I said before, a strong will and determination. There are going to be people who doubt you in your life. People who are going to ridicule your choices and question your ability. Regardless of that, just stay focused. If you have a dream or if you have an aspiration, do everything possible to get to your path. The road to success is not straight. I use this metaphor with my students often. The road to success is not straight. There's curves called failure and loops called confusion. But with a spare tire called determination and an engine called perseverance, you'll eventually reach a place called success. And that's my metaphor that I team that is just perfect for the way I grew up and to help me get where I am today. And I believe it's for everybody, because the world is not perfect, but you have to make the most of it. And as long as you persevere, I believe you'll get what you want. Hard work always pays off.
Great advice, Jason. Thanks for joining us here. If people want to find out more about the Beyond 330 program, what do they do? Can they Google it, or is there a website that they can go to find out more?
Yeah, they can visit the Toronto Foundation for Student Success online, and under that website, there's a tab for Beyond 330, and you could visit it. And we're also on YouTube to see how that program actually runs, a few clips and some advice from other people. That is on the YouTube website. So Toronto Foundation for Student Success is the website.
Great, and I'll link that to the Career Buzz blog at careercycles.com. Jason Persaud, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Eva, again.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, so, and Eva, I'd like to keep you on. We're just going to take a break for station ID, and no, we're not actually going to take that break. We're going to do that in a few minutes, so let's continue on. Eva, a couple more questions for you before we wrap up this interview. You've now taken some interesting steps in your career. It sounds like you're doing what some people might call a portfolio career or a kaleidoscope career, because you're doing several things at the same time, the newspaper and still doing some of the training, personal training. What can you tell people about juggling, about dealing with multiple things in their career at one time? How's that working for you, and what can you share about that?
Well, Mark, for me, that works really well, because again, as I said, it's allowed me to let the different facets of my personality and my life really blossom. And that sense that, it isn't only what we've been trained for necessarily that can give us so much fulfillment and pleasure. And especially, you know, in these times when it is difficult to, you know, find jobs in maybe one particular area, I think, you know, the more we open ourselves to the things that we are good at, not necessarily the things we're trained to do, but the things that we are good at, I think it just bodes so well for us. And, you know, there's so many avenues open to us, you know, again, with internet, with all sorts of networking, that, you know, there's a whole world of people out there that I found that were willing to help. So that's my, you know, that's what has worked well for me, is that that I think, you know, really we are all multifaceted. So let's celebrate that.
Right on. And it sounds like using your strengths. You're saying, as we said right at the beginning of the interview, one of your strengths was to draw people in, and it sounds like that was a winning formula for you.
It was a great discovery, actually, of one of my skills, I have to say that. And I guess that's the other thing, the more we, you know, venture out in the world, you know, trying to be fearless, the more we discover our strengths. So, you know, it's a win-win.
And what is the future for Good News Toronto now? Like you've said that it's going to stay online for a while before it comes back to print. You know, there's the business realities and the financial realities. How do you see this? How do you see this moving forward?
Oh, great question, Mark. Well, my vision is that Good News Toronto become bigger, bigger and better. That we do get the much needed financial backing to be able to do that, because the response has been so great to the newspaper. So I'd like to keep it in print and distribute it even more far-reaching than the 10,000 copies we were doing up to now. So I'm really hopeful and positive that 2012 will be a great year for Good News Toronto and continue online. And online gives us a whole other possibilities that we can explore. And I welcome people to get engaged, again, online or in print, in any fashion. It's about Toronto, and it's by Torontonians for Torontonians.
And how do listeners find out more?
Again, they can go on our website, goodnewstoronto.ca. They can email me at info@goodnewstoronto.ca. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter.
Right on.
We're
you're all over.
We're all over
social media.
So just, again, truly welcome feedback and submissions, and submissions of any kind of expression, whether it is written, whether it's photos, whether it's poetry, whether it's art. We welcome it. Love it.
Great. It's very inspiring what you're doing there, Eva. Thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Mark.
All right. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. We're going to take a bit of a break and come right back with Mark Swartz.
From the roots up. CIUT 89.5 FM, broadcasting live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
From Hart House,
University of Toronto.
We're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Before continuing on with the show today, I want to let listeners know about the Enriching Lives and Careers trip to Nicaragua, service learning experience, Feb 23rd to March 2, 2012. Build a transitional house alongside the family who will live there. Connect with locals, enjoy some excursions, meet remarkable change makers. Check the Enriching Travel button at careercycles.com for more info. So it's December, and the holidays are around the corner. Today on your show, continuing with our Career Conversations feature, we're joined by career activist Mark Swartz on the topic of career exploration all over the holidays. Mark Swartz is a leading Canadian career consultant, author, speaker. He's been published and online since 1997 with Monster, Workopolis, The Globe and Mail, Toronto Star. Mark Swartz, welcome to Career Buzz.
Hey, Mark. Nice to be here.
So glad to have you finally here and talking about important career issues, especially over the holidays here. We've got the holidays coming up, and we thought that would be a fun topic to pick up. It's mid-December now. People are thinking, well, you know, what should I do with my career? If I'm employed, how do I deal with this time of year? If I'm in transition, how do I move forward? Should I just stop? Should I start? So it's an interesting topic and a timely topic. What are your initial thoughts on the topic?
Well, there's two sort of things that kind of happen this time of year. People, once they get through the busiest part, tend to get a little bit reflective. And so one aspect is taking a look at what you've done, where you want to be, reviewing your achievements, and so kind of taking stock of yourself and planning for the following year.
Right on. I like to use the term checkup, a career checkup. You know, like we everybody has the idea of a checkup. You know, you go to your dentist or your doctor, and I've been floating this term career checkup, and it's probably a good time of year for people to do that. This kind of reflective process. What have I liked and learned? What haven't I liked? How can I do more of what I want and less of what I don't want? Is that the kind of reflective process that you think would be helpful for people?
Oh, I was thinking more of a stethoscope and, you know, like blood pressure. No, yes, absolutely. Thinking about yourself, kind of a strategic review, where I've been, where I think I might want to head. But there's another thing that people do around this time of year, and that's if you're a job seeker. And that would be to actually either put on a bit of a press, that is to not sit back and let the season go by thinking that this is, it's going to be a slow time, hence I shouldn't really bother to get out there. And I actually recommend that people use this time effectively, because there can be a lot of activity between now and the 24th. And I can speak to that honestly, because years ago, when I was looking for a job at one point and I was in the business world, I got hired on December 23rd, went to the holiday party that very evening that was held atop a beautiful hotel, and it was just like a gorgeous affair. So, yeah, I can speak legitimately to the fact that it can happen. You can get hired this time of year, but even if you don't get hired right away, the fact is that you can get on people's radar screens for the beginning of 2012,
exactly,
when new budgets may be coming out and hiring begins afresh.
So it's an interesting topic. Listeners might have comments or questions about this. What should or shouldn't I do during the holidays? Whether you're in transition, and maybe we can start talking about that, or if you're employed. But if you have a comment or a question, please give us a call, and you can join us live on the air here. The phone number is 416-946-7000. That's 416-946-7000. Or also you can email me and I'll read your question on air, and the email is mark@careercycles.com. So mark@careercycles.com or 416-946-7000. What's your story about job seeking or career reflection over the holiday period? So, Mark, we were just talking about job seeking, and the first question is, are people even hiring? And I love your stories. The answer is yes, because your story is that, yeah, people do hire. I don't know if there's stats on this, and I was trying to check it out before today's show, but everything I read kept on saying, yes, hiring happens. It may not be quite as fast or as furious as it might be, say, in January or February, but I think it's still true. People are hiring. Job postings are out there. What's your perspective of the hiring over these last couple of weeks of December?
Well, what tends to happen, of course, is by the 15th or so, people are heavily into their holiday plans, and that begins to take precedence over everything else. So there is a slowdown. There's no doubt about it that there's a slowdown in hiring between now and the beginning of January, actually more to about January 10th, 15th, when people get back from holidays, they're begin to pick up their routines, and then they have these new budgets potentially, and boom, they're into a great deal of activity. So what you find is it may be slower at this stage in the next couple of weeks for actual hiring. But one of the nice things is some of the folks who are in their jobs, they may have time, or because they're in potentially a festive spirit, they may make time to, if you invite them for a coffee or a chat, for whether it's an information interview or whether it's to come in and just sort of get to know them, they may be more open at this time of year than they would be in a more hectic point of the season.
Right on. So I tend to use the term field research. I like that term. It's a little more active, and that term,
yeah,
information interview,
okay.
You know, I don't know, people sometimes have funny reactions to it. So for sure, you could be doing that, like asking people for these field research conversations, whether they're face-to-face over a coffee or even on phone.
Absolutely.
And probably people are more apt to say yes. They're in more of a festive mood, and maybe they have a bit more time.
Well, sometimes, listen, there are, of course, those people who say, oh my gosh, there's only like 12 more days before the big holiday, and I've got to get everything done. You know, please contact me, let's say, the first week of January, because at that point, it'll still be a little bit quieter. However, there are those who are available, and because it's the holiday season, they might be feeling a little bit more, and especially if they're employed and if you happen to be in transition, you know, they may be feeling, gosh, you know, I can be a bit more generous at this point. And if somebody else is at a disadvantage, maybe now's the time to be a bit more giving.
So I was thinking about this very thing this morning. Like, okay, well, what about doing that and taking advantage of that time? Let's say now you're employed, but you're thinking of a change and you want to start looking around and having those kinds of information meetings or field research, as I've been calling it. And you want to meet, like, there's some organization or some individuals and you've had them on your radar screen for a while. I was thinking about using vacation time, you know, and it's a funny time of year. People often use the vacation time right around Christmas or between Christmas and New Year's. But even now, like this week, you know, it's so normal that people are taking vacation days. What about using vacation time now? You know, schedule it. It's like, okay, on December 18th, I'm going to take a vacation day, and then calling up all those people on your radar screen and trying to set up a string of meetings in a row on that day, on your vacation day.
That's actually a great idea, Mark. Of course, not everybody has a vacation entitlement that would allow them to do that, so you have to be careful with your allotment. But if you do
have it.
Yeah, if you